CBS Eye on the World, the Scala Report with CEO Chris Riegel of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. The banking crisis, most recently in the news, and then again not, day in, day out. The question is, are we looking at a trend? At least one professor of finance, at Stanford Graduate School of Business, Mr. Amit Saru, writes, "Our nation's banking system is at a critical juncture. The recent fragility and collapse of several high-profile banks are most likely not an isolated phenomenon. In the near term, a damaging combination of fast-rising interest rates, major changes in work patterns, and the potential of a recession could prompt a credit crunch not seen since the 2008 financial crisis." Chris, a very good evening to you. You are traveling in Europe. Credit crunch. I hear this terminology everywhere. In Europe and now in the United States, the professor is concerned about changes in work patterns. That sounds like work from home. That sounds like the cities do not have a prospect of regaining their prosperity. And that connects to a story you've identified for over a year, the commercial real estate market. There are warning signs everywhere. Do you see those warning signs being taken seriously, soberly, by our leadership in Washington? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Our leadership in Washington, not yet. They're dealing with symptoms as opposed to root diagnosis of the problem. What you're facing, both in the U.S. and Europe, and you're starting to see mention of European banks that have credit worthiness questions or issues, is that the societal change of people working from home has changed the way cities are structured, cities are financed, and there's an immense amount, both in the U.S. and Europe, of commercial debt on those very expensive, very large buildings. So if there's no one going to work, if they're no longer valued the same way, there has to be a revaluation of that asset, that the revaluation of those assets can be existentially threatening to many banks who have huge loans in the sector. And that's why you're seeing what will likely continue to be a banking crisis based on that write down or mark to market of those commercial real estate assets.
The puzzle has been for some time now, work from home. Is that a fad or is that a permanent change in the way offices or buildings are being used? In New York City, many of the buildings, high-end buildings, you know, the first-rate buildings, remain partially used during the week, and on Friday, not used at all. Maybe Monday morning, not used at all. That is a New York story. Is that something you've seen in the secondary and tertiary cities, especially the new cities in the Southwest and the South?
So, John, it's fascinating within the workforce and in having over 1,000 employees worldwide to see patterns when hiring new people. Sometimes people will say, I'm really excited and I want to get back to work. I want to come into the office. I want to be in the office 5 days. Others saying, I'll only consider a job if it's fully remote work. So you're seeing that bifurcation. The end question would be, when labor was tight in a market and the economy was strong, labor had the power in that environment. Now it looks as if, because of recession, because of more pressure, that influence and power, like a pendulum, has swung to the other side. So you see employers saying, hey, I'd really like to have you for this job, but it's in an office job, and employees then making the decision, do I want to go back into the office and work in the office or not? Will that labor force mold back to an in-office experience or not is the unknown question for everybody.
You mentioned overseas. There's a headline from Bloomberg recently that struck me as conversant with our credit doubts about commercial real estate. Sweden's real estate woes deepen as top landlord conserves cash. Now, I last remember hearing that cash term in 2008. People saying a really good investment is cash. Is that a way of the banks talking about how they're concerned about their portfolios?
Correct. It comes to the point of many buildings, and it's slightly different in the U.S. versus Europe, but many buildings that were built in the last several years or refinanced within the last several years, now their loans are coming up. They have to roll and do new loans. Banks are much more conservative. They're downwriting or reducing the value of commercial assets, which in many cases makes some of these big developments either not economically viable or because the revenues are declining because of work from home, the assets are under stress. The question is, does that write down of commercial real estate in the U.S., in Sweden, and other parts of Europe trigger a full banking crisis Or are regulators going to allow those banks to look the other way on those assets and say over the next 5, 10, 20 years, it'll all work out? So it really is in the government's hands to say how aggressive government wants to be enforcing these revaluations. But the market factors themselves are certainly driving down values.
You brought to my attention a visualizing of the assets and liabilities of U.S. banks. It's very carefully balanced. I'm guessing that's on purpose. Assets at $22.9 trillion, liabilities at $20.7 trillion. That sounds like, well, that sounds like Dickens' Product Happiness. Is it true? Or are we including the assets, those commercial real estate leases that are coming due?
So, John, if you say, roughly speaking, that maybe between 6 and 8 trillion of that asset base is commercial real estate, if you take a 20 or 25% write down in the equity value of that real estate, all of a sudden you have banks in that larger analogy that are illiquid and technically not financially sound. So the question would be, how do you value those assets? But a significant write down, 20% of that asset value, then makes a number of institutions insolvent if you get a short-term run on those banks.
The banking crisis not solved. So we go to another thing that remains unsolved, which is the non-transparency of the People's Republic of China. Over many weeks, Chris, you've told anecdotes that you've heard about China and looking for work, especially the manufacturing center. We have a PMI, a producer manager index, under 50 in China now, which is sympathetic with your anecdotes about factories looking for work. We also have this odd statistic. In January and February of 2023, just now, the shoe sales declined 10%, consumer shoe sales, and apparel declined 18%. I'm unfamiliar with Chinese consumer habits. In the U.S., that would be bad news for everyone because consumers buy shoes when they're happy. Is this a way of measuring Chinese unhappiness, declining shoe sales?
Quite possibly. So the first thing to remember about China is whatever the official figures they publish are typically wrong or not accurate. So you look at the unofficial figures, shipping volumes, import volumes, export volumes. The shoe and apparel index is a great way to look at the status of that Chinese consumer to say, those can be considered, in many cases, discretionary sales. And if the Chinese consumer is less liquid, if they can put off that purchase of the new shirt, of the new shoes for a couple weeks, it may be a sign of strain to the consumer in that economy. Business volume is one thing that's more easily tracked, but things like this are always very important to get that eye in on the consumer and what's really happening. And this could be an early warning sign.
We leave the People's Republic and go to the continent of Europe, where Chris is traveling. The question now about the European Central Bank is, have they raised rates sufficiently to defeat the sticky inflation? What is the opinion across Europe?
Kind of difficult to say. Inflation here has not been as hard of a bite as it has been in the U.S. It's not as visible to the consumer. There's mention of it, but not the same level of pain. I think you're starting to see the idea that central economists, both in Europe and the U.S., know they can't continue to raise and cool the economies too fast. So I think you may be approaching that plateau where rates at least are not rising significantly or substantially going forward. You saw a cooler print on inflation in the U.S. this morning. So maybe we've reached that happy medium. However, there will be some economic carnage in that triggered by the higher rates. So at a certain point, the question is, how long can governments withstand keeping rates where they are today before the political and economic pressure forces them to start lowering again?
And in the U.S., in our final 30 seconds, the slowdown continues or is there a pause in hiring?
Slowdown continues because banks now are extremely spooked about credit markets. The banking constriction of doing new loans, doing new expansions across many, many sectors, we're hearing of an absolute freeze at the bank level. No one is lending money, and that will translate to economic constriction going forward.
Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scala.com. Scala, a global technology firm transforming the retail space. This is the Scala Report. I'm John Mack.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.